a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome on into another edition of Unrivaled right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network. My name is not Jonas, but that's your band of the day, Weezer. Going over the airwaves here.
Oh, so Jonas is his name.
No, Scott. Okay. No. Let me just paint a picture for
Weezer
somebody.
Weezer is not the guy's name.
So I go, Scott, band of the day, we're going to do Weezer. Never heard of that guy. This is who I have to work with every day. The person who goes, I don't know who Weezer is. He sounds like a weirdo.
Well, there's probably a lot of people my age that think the same thing.
No.
Yes.
Weezer? Come on, man. Megan knows. That's all that matters. Yeah. Band of the day brought to you by Live Nation Concerts for the latest tour news. Artists inside, go to livenation.com. We are here at Homie today, all day today. We are super excited because Superfan Katie is in the house, and she's going to walk us through exactly how you can list your home with Homie and what the benefits are. So we're going to be talking about all those things. First, we're going to start off the program, as we always do. I've got some Pac-12 talk to start off here with. It is our cut right here at the top of the hour. Let's do it.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Are we giving away Jazz tickets today?
We are going to be giving away Jazz tickets. So, not a Tupac, a four-pac.
Ooh.
Every hour.
Four-pac?
Megan, you've heard of Tupac, right?
I know who that is, okay?
I know who Tupac is.
I know who Tupac is.
By the way, the cut brought to you by, as usual, Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for an exciting free offer. Exciting free offer. Scott, I want to get into something because this is a Pac-12 subject, but I haven't really thought about this. And I've actually started to see him pop up. BYU fan, okay? My people. I'm a little disappointed.
Your homies?
My homies. See what, see what I have to work with every day?
That's the old dad joke.
So the Pac-12, when they rolled out their relationship with Utah, Utah started up this whole thing now, what, 10 years ago?
10 years.
11 years, 10 years ago.
A decade of dominance here by
we
Utah
started,
and the Pac-12.
We started to see, oh, yeah, how many championship banners you guys raising up there? Go Red Rocks, right? Yeah.
It's a dusty rafters.
It's just the one. We're going to redo it at Huntsman Center.
Not a lot of banners.
No, but the Pac-12 stickers rolled up. Any of those, you know those big lifted trucks with the big red Pac-12 shield on the back?
Yes.
BYU fans made fun of that. They go, oh, nice. Yeah, what are you cheering? Who cheers on a conference? Who cheers on a conference? Over the last month and a half, Scott, over the last 8 weeks, since we've realized the relationship now that BYU is going to have with the Big 12, the Big 12 blue stickers are popping. I've seen dozens of them on trucks, cars, all those things. You know why? because they feel – because they're in the club now, right? When they weren't invited before, it was your club's stupid, which is what we always do with everything, right? Yeah, I wasn't invited to the party. We're going to do our own party over here. You know, it's called Independence, and it's going to be really sweet. But those Big 12 stickers – and I'm actually a fan of that XII, you know? The Roman numerals,
is that
12.
What the sticker looks like?
Yeah, it's got the Big 12 logo.
But the pack is a better sticker.
How it's like a shield. It's like a fake NFL shield.
Well, it's a shield.
I'm just saying that BYU fan, if you knocked the cheering on the conference before, and you're not excited about, and now you have that Big 12 sticker, shame on you. But I also say, if you want to have that sticker, and people have gotten pretty creative, put the old cougar that's like, you know, the one who like. The cougar that reaches down through the U, you know, they put that one on the Big 12 sticker.
The U so or the Y?
Sorry, no, BYU sticker.
But he reaches down.
He has his mitts going down the old U tunnel there.
So yeah. There's a U in BYU.
All right. You should have seen Scott's fingers in the room when he just did that. Yeah, we get it. But I want to start things off here with the Pac-12 commissioner, a man that you and I've interviewed at Pac-12 Media Day, George Kliavkov. But what I wanted to say was, before we get to that sound, George Kliavkov is a guy who, when we interviewed him, what was the very first thing you thought right off the bat, Scott? What was the thing that you thought about the guy who's going to be the –
Is this a trick question? Because, like, now you put pressure on me.
No, no,
I don't
know
what he's thought.
No. What did you think? What did you think about George Kliavkov as it changed from Larry Scott in the Pac-12?
Well, I think it's someone who had – Larry Scott came from kind of a certain area. Like, his focus, I don't know, was really on – the thing that's really going to drive a conference, and that's the revenue generating sports. It's just what drives everything. Football is king across this country, and if you don't have an influence, some kind of input, or some kind of presence, significant presence on a national stage as a football conference, you're behind. And so I think he realizes that, and I think he's someone who's look. I see what the problem is here, and the. Football has to become relevant across the country in the past.
He seems like a moneymaker kind of guy, too. He's the guy who's
like –
Was
that the answer you're looking for, was a moneymaker?
Yeah, well, no, I'm saying –
Give me a cue card and say he's a moneymaker.
No, I'm saying for me, like, he was down to business right off the bat, right?
Yes, very much so.
He rolled up and he was just like, I want to make some dough for this conference.
And he – right, I would agree with that.
And the last guy lost a lot of money from the for the conference, or at least didn't have a clear vision going forward.
When you wear two Rolex watches, though, I mean, that's –
You need to be all over, yeah, exactly.
What kind of statement that?
Well, makes. You got a couple time zones in your conference. You know what I mean? The new Big 12 guy is going to have like, Bowlesby's going to have to get three Rolexes. Here was that sound. I think we've got it now. George Kliavkov talking about divisions in the Pac-12.
Do we want to have divisions or not? There's a nightmare scenario for the conference where a two or three team loss from either the North or South plays an undefeated team from the other side of our divisional structure and. Wins and no one gets a CFP bid. So does it make more sense for us to not have divisions and just have the best two teams meet in Vegas on December 3rd? We won't be able to make that decision this year. We're in the divisional structure this year, but we'll look at that for years going forward, and that'll be informed by what the future structure of the CFP will be.
See, this to me just makes sense. When you have a commissioner that says, here's the problem, here's the challenge, here's the downside to divisions, right? And he nails it, and it's a problem maybe across college football with how when you have divisions. The whole idea for this originally is like, this is to generate revenue. It's to generate interest. It's to kind of have it like a mini NFL. You think of, you know, the NFC East is a very, you know, they got this division within the NFL. You've got you develop these rivalries in these teams. And it kind of has happened. I mean, Arizona State's become a rivalry of Utah and USC and not Colorado. It generates that more centralized or, you know, local interest within these schools. But the problem on the bigger stage is you get left out of the conversation. And you run the risk of, you know, having you know, a team that maybe shouldn't have won the conference finds a way to win on a game or on a you know, on one day, and they have two or three conference losses and they beat a team that's undefeated, because that does happen in college football from time to time. Then you get hosed on the college football playoffs. So, and that's just present college football. When it expands, you have two one-loss or undefeated teams playing in a conference championship, and one of those teams beats the other one, then you have a discussion of possibly having two teams in an expanded college football playoffs. And that makes your conference relevant on a national stage. So I love the fact that he's thinking big. He's thinking nationally. He's thinking like not from a localized presence. And because my concern with this, Alex, is losing rivalries, because there are rivalries about, you know, you have like Oregon and Washington.
Well, can't you bake that into the, like, I mean, for USC, for example, there are two teams that they could list as the ones that they kind of need to play every year. UCLA and Stanford, right? I mean, those are those are the games they have to play.
Yes.
But why would it be that hard? UW obviously needs to play Wazoo.
Well, they don't. USC doesn't.
They need to play Oregon.
But USC doesn't play Stanford every year now.
And that's true because of the North and South divisions. Yeah. But
the UCLA is a legitimate
UCLA
thing.
Has to have
Oregon,
you gotta have
Oregon
that one.
State is a legitimate thing. Washington,
yes. Those things need to stick. Yeah. Washington and Oregon needs to stay as a thing. But at the same time, being able to build out an 8-team conference schedule, which is exactly what all these conferences need to go to the direction of the 8-game conference schedule. That, yes. It's exactly what Bob Bowlesby has talked about. Every schedule, everybody is looking at it and going, man, the SEC has had just that tiny bit of edge when they in a place where they have never needed an edge. They've had that edge of one fewer conference game. Plug the Citadel or right. Whomever it might be, Howard or whoever you want to play that weekend to just roll over in November, and it gets you a place possibly closer to that college football playoff, which is exactly where the Pac-12 has not been over the last stretch here.
Everyone goes, we got to go to 8 games. And you have to go to 8 games because every other conference is at 8 games. So you're playing an additional conference flow or foe, and you're not getting the same comparison to an SEC school. So that's one side of it. But here's another one that I don't think no one's really talked about this. And when you have one less conference game, it's one less game where you're going to have wear and tear on your team. Because you look at teams right now. You look at BYU. What's happened to BYU? Injuries, right? And you play that heavy
front-loaded schedule yeah.
with a lot of Power 5 schools. Mm-hmm. That's hard for anybody. And the same thing goes for a school like Utah. You're playing all of these schools. And so to go through your schedule and to go, you know, maybe we start off with a non-conference. And we have 3 or 4 non-conference games. Or let's say we have 3. And then we get into a conference schedule. And then you think about Alabama right in the middle of the season, the first part of November. Who do they play? Like Alabama Tech College, mm-hmm. right? And they it's literally almost like a bye week. It's a week where you're still kind of taking the car out and driving it down the street and, you know, making sure that it's tuned in, but you're not getting to a situation where you got to really bring out your big guns and your armory and risk the injury part of it. So just that actually keeps your teams fresher throughout the season, and it's conference wide. This is a problem everyone has. So being able to keep your team fresh and healthy and be able to compete at the end of the season, that's such a massive advantage. Aside from that, every other conference is going to 8 conference games. It's a huge deal, and I don't think anyone talks about the significance.
Why is it that the Big 12? Bob Bowlesby talked to Mitch Harper like last week or 2 weeks ago when they're down at Baylor, and he said, "Oh yeah, we're going to go to divisions." Because then you have that's somebody going the direction of divisions. Why is it that in a place where they are obviously going to be hurting for the national recognition that Oklahoma and Texas brought them? And so if you're going to have a couple of teams that might be undefeated, or at least the best of the best teams that are there fighting for you at the top of your your conference table, why would somebody go away from or want to actually get into divisions just because you have 12 teams in it?
Well, I think it's one of those things that generates interest, right? And I think that's the whole motive behind having the divisions, was to have a way to, like, you know, there's something for everyone to play for in this conference. There's, you know, you have it consolidated, and so because in the Pac-12, you're always talking about it. You got to win the South. I mean, if you want to win the conference, you got to win the South. And if you're going to win the South, you got to beat USC. And so it gives you kind of this hope or this strategy. But then it also creates, I think it was intended to create, so much more interest later on as far as have – why are you making fun of me?
Just your microphone little thing you fell off of there.
Oh.
No, it looked good. It was a little shelf. It sat on a little shelf
me,
on
folks,
your shirt
while
there.
While I
this is Radio 101 here. Scott's bringing it to you. No, that's good. You good now?
Well, now you threw me off. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking
Pac-12.
About. No, but it's like, why have these divisions? Mm. So then you go, oh, we're going to have a conference championship game. Like, I've been to the SEC conference championship game. There's 70-plus thousand people that show up there.
It's as big. Well, and half the time, the SEC championship game may as well be the national championship game.
It's the national championship game. Yeah. I've been to the Pac-12 championship game, and guess what? It's a dud. It's awful. Like, no one shows up to the game.
Yeah, but you're saying the stadium's not packed out with a bunch of Pac-12 fans in the Bay Area?
Right. And that,
what?
I know. It's a shocker. But here you have Utah fans, and they go, okay, wait a minute. We're playing in the conference championship, and we have the choice of, do we want to go watch that game, or do we want to go watch maybe the Rose Bowl?
Right, and I know people who have totally made that decision. They
go
I'm not going to pay for two trips to California in the next month.
You know,
here.
So there's not a – you got to kind of read your audience, you know, what conference you're in. I mean, if you're in an SEC conference, it's like, could we please get football 24/7, 365? We don't care where it is, who it is. We're going to show up and watch. And, like, the Pac-12, that's why I was saying the other day, don't have – divisions, have one conference, and everyone competes against everyone.
And you just have the top two play in that conference championship game.
Well, no. What I said, yes, you have the top two play, but bring the other teams. I mean, if you want,
what are you talking about?
If you want folks to show up at your conference championship game, which is now going to be in Las Vegas, and they think by moving it to Las Vegas, okay, great, we're in Vegas, everyone's going to show up. You're going to still have the same issues. Like, I don't believe folks are going to show up.
You don't
think
the UCLA fans are going to pack it out if they end up in the conference championship game in Vegas?
They may pack a casino, but they're not going to pack, you know, Allegiant
You know what they need
Stadium.
To do? They need to invite Gonzaga basketball fans. That's who's going to end up actually showing up at the Las Vegas at the Pac-12 championship game
to watch a game. Say you have an event and have it for a couple of days.
But what event are you talking about? Are you talking like a mini football tournament? What are you trying to say?
Well, you don't have to have a tournament, but you can have a showcase. So you bring all of the teams in the conference, and then they get to play each other at the end of the season an extra game.
Cart before the horse here, Scott. Got to have a good team in the Pac-12.
There are a lot of good teams in the Pac-12.
Currently,
there aren't any great teams in the
Pac-12.
I'm going to
get my pen out.
There are good teams.
Okay, so
actually,
some...
Oregon, Yogi Roth yesterday, that was a legitimate statement. Oregon healthy is a pretty legitimate college football team.
Top to bottom.
Aside from the quarterback.
Yeah, you know what? That's interesting because they haven't had amazing performances at the QB position.
No.
And when your marquee guy is a defensive end, that's always tough too.
Yeah, but he's pretty marquee.
Who was the guy? Oh, Bill Walton was calling the game for a game day this week, or he was the celebrity picker for game day this weekend. And he goes, what was the he goes, that Kayvon Thibodeau brings it every down. He gives it his all every down. And I thought to myself, Thibodeau? I mean, Thibodeau is my favorite nickname for the guy. For a guy who talks about himself basically in the third person, when we interviewed him, he wouldn't even look at us, and he had his sunglasses on in a room. We're inside a hotel in the conference room. He's got his sunglasses on. He's not looking at us. He goes, yeah, man, Kayvon Thibodeau just does what Kayvon Thibodeau's got to do. I'm like, look, Karl Malone, you haven't done anything yet, kid. All right, we got a lot to talk about here, Scott. When you say there are a lot of good teams in the Pac-12, which ones are you talking about? Just Oregon currently?
Well, UCLA's a good football team.
Are they?
Yes.
What happens if
I'm not talking about, like, world champions or even teams that are going to make the college football playoffs, but they're good football teams.
There's no one on track to make the college football playoff in the next 5 years, Scott.
No. I wouldn't go that far. I'd go 4.5 years. Yeah, I wouldn't go 5. I'd go 4.5. I think it's a real problem. And so basically, okay, you're the Pac-12, and you go, well, the only way we're going to have national relevance is we have to sell our soul to one or two programs. We have to say USC has to be the top banana, and quite frankly, they should be. And Oregon is the other team that could do it. I mean, I think a team like Washington is the equivalent of a team like Florida in the SEC.
Where the
SEC.
Heck have the Huskies gone, man? Jeez.
Right, but they have the potential to be one of those teams. I think Arizona State, believe it or not, has the ability to be a pretty darn good football team in the Pac-12.
Well, we still have a
Oregon
lot to,
State is a very good football team.
We got a lot to work out here because I want it to be good. I want it to be the best football it can be in the West, and I hate that that football right now is an almost entirely Eastern sport in this country. We have very few teams that move the needle like the teams that are in the Southeast of the United States do. And so if you want to compete, George Kliavkov, expand the Pac-12 as quickly as you can. I was thrown off by the fact that he was so dismissive.
I don't think expansion is going to help the Pac-12.
It's not about expanding for the sake of just expanding. It's about creating a super conference first, because that's the direction it's all going.
Yeah, but who are you going to get now?
Okay, now, hear me out. Boise State's looking real good this year.
Well, they beat BYU.
I'm just kidding. They're not
looking
terrible.
Beat every team in the Pac-12 this year. I mean, you have a point.
I don't know who
you're
expanded
to. That's the only argument I have for a Utah fan.
Let's pull in the Hawaiian time zone, Scott.
Is it y'all lost to Boise State this year?
Hawaii.
That's the only Hawaii.
Hawaii. Bring in the Hawaii time zone. Now, that's my 11 Hawaii.
If you brought Hawaii in.
Hawaii.
Then you would actually – that's where you have your conference championship game.
All right.
Like the good old Pro Bowl days.
I love that we're thinking this thing. We're thinking this thing through. It's really good.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.